Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
That's better. So we'd like to welcome His Holiness Srila Bhaktacharya Maharaj, who is currently here with us this evening to bless us and enlighten us in spiritual knowledge. Maharaj is also giving a three-day seminar on the topic Happiness Simplified. So we had a wonderful session today at the UQ, and the next 2 days will be on the Christmas and Boxing Days. So you still can come and take the opportunity of Maharaj's association, and tomorrow Maharaj will go to the farm as well. So I'd like to quickly introduce Maharaj, and then Maharaj can take over. So His Holiness Bhaktacharya Swami was born in Bengal in 1945 in India, and then in 1970 he left India to study in Germany, and while there he came across Vedic literatures and discovered the richness of India's spiritual heritage. In 1975, he returned to India to wholeheartedly pursue the spiritual path. So after thoroughly studying the Vedic scriptures, His Holiness became aware of the need to find a spiritual master who could lead him on a sound spiritual course. After searching for one whole year without coming across a spiritual master to whom he could fully surrender, he felt despondent and disappointed. When he almost gave up his hope to find his spiritual master, he came across a book called The Nectar of Devotion by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Becoming engrossed in the depths of that literature, he realized that he found his spiritual master in the path for which he was searching. As he continued to read Srila Prabhupada's works, his conviction grew stronger, as did his desire to meet Srila Prabhupada. At that time, Srila Prabhupada was in America. His Holiness joined the temple in Mayapur, India, and became more involved in devotional service to the Lord. When Srila Prabhupada returned to India at the end of 1976, the meeting between His Holiness Bhaktacharya Swami and Srila Prabhupada finally took place. From their very first meeting, Srila Prabhupada gave His Holiness the assignment of translating his books into Bengali and made him his secretary for Indian affairs, which was a big responsibility for Maharaj at that time. And within only a few months, Srila Prabhupada gave him initiation into the disciplic succession and soon thereafter ordered him the renounced order of life, sannyas. Alongside his official responsibilities, His Holiness translated all of Srila Prabhupada's works on major Vedic literatures, consisting of more than 50 volumes of books into Bengali, as Srila Prabhupada had instructed in their very first meeting. Subsequently, he became a member of the Governing Body Commission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and served as the chairman of the Governing Body in 1989. So Maharaj really took this responsibility of translating Srila Prabhupada's books into Bengali, and that was only in the first meeting that Srila Prabhupada instructed him, which he took the instruction very seriously. In 1996, His Holiness took on the mammoth task of making a biographical video epic. What's it called? Abhaya Charan. How many of you have seen it? It's really wonderful. If you haven't, please grab a copy from Janak Raj Prabhu. He's got only a few sets left. Only the fortunate ones, you can grab it from him. And this is really wonderful series now, which Maharaj dedicated his time to make this series. It's on the life history of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And also, at present, His Holiness is developing projects in Ujjain, and as we all know, in 2006, is that correct? Huh? The Ujjain temple opened? Yeah, in 2006, Maharaj constructed a beautiful temple in Ujjain, and the presiding deities are Sri Sri Madan Mohan, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, and Sri Sri Gauranitai. And Maharaj is continuing to spread this Krishna consciousness movement and serving Srila Prabhupada by, not in a small way, but always. Janak Raj Prabhu was telling me that once that his spiritual master, Bhaktacharya Swami, he never thinks small, he always thinks big. So that's his mood, how he's spreading Krishna consciousness, because Prabhupada used to think big and so are his dedicated disciples. So we welcome Maharaj on this evening, and I hope we'll get a lot from him. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Happy to be here. Last time I was here about 6 months ago, I just drove past this temple. It was under construction at that time. So I'm happy to see that the temple has come up and the deities are back here. I'm happy to be here with you all. Hare Krishna.
Jai Radha Madhava Punja Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Gopi Janava
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य हरे कृष्ण ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 हरे कृष्ण हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू रेड Bhagavad Gita before coming across Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. Okay, very few. Please read, show your hands. Those who have read before reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, please raise your hands. And how? What did you understand from by reading those books, those Bhagavad Gitas? Well, I can tell you, I read about 6 Bhagavad Gitas before reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And I was understanding so much. I was even taking notes on my reading. But then when I came across Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, I realized that I didn't understand anything until I came across Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. That actually reminds me of an incident that took place with Brahmananda Swami. How many of you know about Brahmananda Swami? Prabhupada, one of the first disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Well, I think I'll prefer to sit on a chair because I can't see any of you. Like, just get a chair. I think it's better. What do you think? Ours is a personal movement. So, Brahmananda Swami was a young man at the time, teaching in a school and very much affected by Indian culture, living in New York City. So one day while he was passing by 26 Second Avenue, he just saw Prabhupada was giving lectures on Bhagavad Gita. So he became interested and he came to see Srila Prabhupada one afternoon. So Prabhupada gave him darshan, and so in order to impress Srila Prabhupada, he told Prabhupada that he also read Bhagavad Gita regularly. And he pulled out a Bhagavad Gita from his bag, showed it to Prabhupada, "I read Bhagavad Gita." Then Prabhupada said, "Very good." And then Prabhupada said, "Just open any page of this Bhagavad Gita." And so he opened the page, or just one page, and Prabhupada said, "You read it." So he read it, and Prabhupada said, "Close the book." Closed it, and Prabhupada said, "Now tell me what you understood." And he realized that he didn't understand anything. And then Prabhupada actually pointed out to him that you may be reading Bhagavad Gita, but in order to understand Bhagavad Gita, you need a teacher, a qualified teacher. And that's what impressed him so much, and he decided to surrender himself to Prabhupada. He started to come to the classes every evening, and he could see that Srila Prabhupada was giving the real understanding of Bhagavad Gita. And that's why Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is known as Bhagavad Gita as it is. What does it mean as it is? What is this as it is aspect of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita? Anybody? Yes?
Prabhupada never manufactured.
Okay, good. Somebody said something from this side?
Unchanged.
Huh?
Unchanged.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. Prabhupada said, as it is actually meant the way Krishna spoke and the way Arjuna understood. That is the real purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita for Arjuna to understand. And the way Arjuna understood, and what was Arjuna's qualification of understanding Bhagavad Gita? Krishna himself is telling that this knowledge was lost. You remember that? Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu. The knowledge was flowing through a chain of disciplic succession of rajarshis, the saintly kings. They were kings, but they were actually saintly personalities who actually assumed the responsibility of ruling a kingdom, guiding their citizens. They were not ordinary people. They were the saintly personalities who assumed that responsibility. And but then sakaleneha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. The knowledge was lost. Knowledge was lost. Why? Because it lost its actual meaning. With the purpose, with the way the knowledge was meant to be received, when individuals fail to receive with that spirit, with that understanding. And what is that spirit? That Krishna actually explains in the next verse. Bhaktosi me sakhacheti. You are my devotee. So what is the basic requirement, basic qualification of understanding Bhagavad Gita? One has to become a devotee. Bhaktosi me sakhacheti. You are my devotee and you are my friend. Therefore, rahasyam hi etad uttamam. I am unfolding this mystery of this wisdom. So that is the specialty of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Most of the time, we find that Bhagavad Gita has been translated and commented upon by individuals who are not really accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some even say Krishna didn't even exist. They're translating Bhagavad Gita, they're giving the commentary on Bhagavad Gita, but their understanding is, what to speak of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What to speak of accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? They don't even believe that Krishna existed. So how those Bhagavad Gitas can have any spiritual effect? Therefore, the secret of understanding Bhagavad Gita properly is devotion to Krishna. You become a devotee of Krishna, then the knowledge will unfold. This is how this transcendental knowledge is revealed. Transcendental knowledge is not a matter of intellectual understanding or memorizing in your mind. It is a matter of revelation. In Guru Puja, during Guru Puja, don't we sing? Divvagyan Ride Prakashita. Divvagyan means transcendental knowledge. Ride Prakashita means revealed in the heart. Transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart. It is not a matter of intellectual assimilation. It's a matter of revelation. And how does that revelation take place? What is the criteria for revelation? The criteria for revelation is devotion to the Lord. Devotion to the Lord means accepting Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and listening to His instructions with utmost sincerity and applying those instructions in our lives. That is what devotional service actually means. Accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is He the Supreme Personality of Godhead? When you read Bhagavad Gita, shouldn't we accept that at least? That we are reading something that has been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Yes or no?
Yes.
How many of you are for no? Okay, then I can conclude that all are for yes. A simple approach. So, I think you need some more space.
We can ask everyone just move forward as much as they can, please, because there's more people coming. We'd love to accommodate them.
Yeah, yeah. Please come.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. So now, yeah, the point is, should we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Is it just a matter of our decision, or it is a reality? It's a matter of our decision, or it's a matter of reality?
Reality.
Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Whether we accept it or not, that is our problem. That doesn't matter with Krishna. The sun is up in the sky. Sun is in the sky. A blind man cannot see the sun. Now, who is the loser? Does it affect the sun that this blind man cannot see him? It's the blind man's misfortune that he can't see the sun. So similarly, if we remain spiritually blind, we will never be able to perceive Krishna. We'll never be able to recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is for our own benefit that we must try to recognize who Krishna is. Now, you know something? At the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Arjuna also did not understand that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First chapter, second chapter, third chapter, Krishna didn't know. Arjuna didn't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. It's only in the fourth chapter that Arjuna recognized Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. So you remember third chapter described about Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means Krishna speaking about the arrangement of this material nature and how one should act in the material nature. How one should function, how one should act, with what kind of mentality, what kind of attitude one must execute his activities. That is the third chapter. We must recognize that there are higher authorities who are controlling the affairs of the material nature, And they are controlling, they are controlling different affairs of the material nature. And we must accept, we must recognize their authority and function accordingly. After giving that knowledge of Karma Yoga, in the beginning of fourth chapter, Krishna told Arjuna that I gave this knowledge to Vivashvan. How many of you remember that? Imam Vivashyate Yogam. Krishna is telling Arjuna that Imam Vivashyate Yogam Praptavan Aham Apoyam. I gave this knowledge to Vivashyan. Who is Vivashyan? How many of you remember who is Vivashyan? How many of you don't remember who is Vivashyan? Okay. So it needs some clarification. Vivashyan is sun god. Sun planet. Is the sun planet empty? Or there are people, there are living entities. There. Sun planet, like earth planet, also have living entities. Actually, no space in this creation is empty. Won't it be an inconceivable waste of space if all those planets were empty? Does somebody create something without any rhyme or reason? What to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when He created the universe, did He make them just to keep them empty? Or they are meant to be utilized with certain purpose? So all the planets are have habitation. So sun planet is full with living entities, with appropriate bodies. Sun planet is a fiery planet. So what kind of bodies the inhabitants of those planet, that planet have? They are fiery bodies. Our bodies, what is our body made of? Five elements, but out of them, out of those five elements, which is the predominating factor in our body? Water. 75 to 80% of our body is water. It's a watery body, meant for this planet. And this planet is a watery planet. Consider what is the portion. About 80% of this planet is water. Now, sun planet is a planet of fire. And the living entities there have appropriate body that they can dwell in that atmosphere. Anyway, in that sun planet, there is a sun god. Who is the controller of the sun planet? His name is Vivashvan. Every 71 Chaturyugas, every Manantara, the cycle, the shift changes. Indra and Chandra, Varuna, all these demigods residing in heavenly planets, different parts of the heavenly planets, their shift changes. So in this one is known as Vaivashyata Manantara. And in this millennium, Vivashyan is the ruler of the sun planet. And this, so Krishna is telling that I imparted this knowledge first to Vivashyan, sun god. Then Vivashyan gave it to his son, Manu, Vaivashyata Manantara. Then Manu gave it to his son, Ikshaku. So, evam parampara praptam imam rajarsha yogidu. In this way, this knowledge was flowing through a chain of saintly kings. But sakaleneha mahata yoga nashta paranta. But in course of time, that knowledge was lost. It became spoiled. Not lost, but it became spoiled. So now, sa evayang mayate yoga prakta puratam. I will tell you this knowledge because you are my devotee and my friend, Krishna is there. At that time, Arjun asked Krishna, Krishna, you were born just the other day, and Sun God was born so many millions of years ago. So how can I understand that you imparted the knowledge to Sun God? Aparam bhagato janma, aparam means recently. And param janma vivashata. A long, long time ago, Vivashan was born. So katham etat bijaniyam tamado praktavaniti. How can I understand that you gave this knowledge to Vivashan? So then Krishna tells him that Arjun, many a times both you and I have taken birth. But about those birth, you don't remember anything, whereas I remember everything. So here's the difference between Arjun and Krishna. Here's the difference between a living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Krishna goes on to clarify. Now, although he said that many, many times you and I have taken birth, but now Krishna is telling that Ajo Pi Sanabhayatma, I am Aja, I am unborn, I am inexhaustible, Abhayatma, Bhutana Misharopi San, I am the controller of all the living entities, and Prakritim Samadhisthaya Sambhavami Atmaya. Taking advantage of my internal potency, I manifest myself. Not I take birth, but I manifest myself. We are born according to our karmic reactions. Due to our past activities, we take birth in different species, in different forms. But that's not the case with Krishna. Krishna just manifests himself. He doesn't need to take birth. But he comes. Why he comes? That Krishna is establishing. How many of you remember why Krishna comes? Huh? Okay, we'll say. Okay, tell me. Very good. And before that, what is the verse? Yada yada dharmasya. Whenever there is a decline in religious principles, an increase of irreligiosity, then dharma sangsthapanarthaya, in order to establish dharma, re-establish dharma, sambhavami yuge. And how he does that? Paritranaya sadhuna, by protecting the saintly people and annihilating duskritam, annihilating the miscreants. Dharma sangsthapanarthaya cha duskritam, I manifest myself. Jugsambhavami yuge. I come from time to time. So here you see, like at the beginning, Arjun naturally was not aware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Krishna is Arjun's cousin. Krishna's father and Arjun's mother are brother and sister. They're cousins. And not only they're cousins, they're of the similar age. That's why they have a natural friendship. Don't the cousins of the same age become more intimately connected, intimately related? So that is how they develop their relationship. And all of a sudden, just imagine someday your cousin just tells you that, you know, I gave this knowledge to Sun God. What will be your immediate reaction? Come on, what are you talking about? Because we were born just the other day. So that's how Arjuna is reacting. What, Krishna? What are you talking about, Krishna? You were just born the other day. And then Arjuna, then Krishna actually revealed his identity. That first of all, both of us took birth many, many times. But there's a difference between your birth and my birth. First of all, about those birth, you don't remember anything. Well, I remember everything. Whenever I came, whatever I did, I remember everything. Not only whatever I did. You know something about Krishna? Krishna not only remembers whatever he did, Krishna remembers also whatever we all did. And imagine how many of us are there, millions and millions, billions and billions, trillions and trillions, living entities. Krishna remembers everything. That is Krishna's inconceivable potency. How he does that is beyond us. Inconceivable. We'll never be able to understand. But that is his ability. That is his power. That's his potency. Inconceivable. So that is how Krishna actually imparted this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Then now he established himself. And did he only establish himself? Did he only claim that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No, after that, step by step, he clarified. In fifth chapter, Krishna went back to Karma Yoga, but he gave it another dimension. In the previously in Karma Yoga that he spoke, he was speaking about the structure of the universe, different controllers of the different affairs of the of this universe, and how we should function. And a simple consideration was that when we utilize something, then we have to pay for that, isn't it? You utilize your electricity. You utilize electricity, you consume electricity, and for that you have to pay a bill. Don't you? You are utilizing water and you have to pay the bill. Now in our normal system, we have this custom of paying the bills for whatever we are utilizing. But in the universal affairs, when you get different facilities, should you pay the bill? They are being supplied. It's not happening by accidentally. It's not happening accidentally. There are different respective controllers who are actually controlling those affairs. Water supply department. Like when we get water supply from Brisbane City Authority, then we are prepared to pay the bill. But when the rain comes and abundantly supplies water, should we pay some bill or not? Yes, we have to pay the bill. But this bill we pay in a very simple way, not by paying money. We simply pay the bill by appreciating this act, offering our respect and worship, expressing our gratitude to them. That's enough. That's what we have to do. That is called jagya. So I'm simply expressing our gratitude. We are getting light. When it becomes night, we get electric light. Do we pay the bill? But the sun is supplying abundant amount of light. Are you paying any bill? Or should you pay any bill? So third chapter is actually discussing about that. But then in the fifth chapter, Krishna actually pointed out that he is the supreme controller of everything. Like all those demigods, the bills the bills that they're getting paid, the payments that they're collecting, say the government authority, the government department of electric supply gets the payments. But what do they do with the payment? Do they eat it up themselves? No. They offer it to the state, the central kitty, central fund. Similarly, ultimately, all the demigods are receiving the worships, receiving the token of sacrifices, but then eventually they're offering it to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is saying, okay, you don't have to go through the via medium of the demigods. You can offer it to me directly. So then Krishna spoke about, in the sixth chapter, he spoke about Ashtanga Yoga. Then 7 to 12 chapter Krishna spoke about devotional service. And in this way Krishna established the real purpose of our existence, to develop our devotion to Krishna. Now Krishna simply didn't speak about our devotional service. In the 10th chapter, Krishna actually expressed his opulences, the way we are seeing everything around us, in them. Jat jat vibhuti mat satya. Like wherever there is some opulence, wherever there is some grandeur, we have to recognize that it is Krishna. And then in the 11th chapter, what happened? Krishna showed his universal form. So that nobody can have any doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna not only spoke about his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna showed Arjuna that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then in the 12th chapter, Krishna showed how simple it is to become a devotee of Krishna. When the father waits for the son to come back to him, or when the son goes away from the father, how does the father feel? He feels bad. The son left him. The son may forget the father, but does the father forget the son? No, father never forgets the son. And he waits for the son to come back. Now when the father is waiting for the son to come back, will he make his coming back difficult? He'll make it extremely easy. So that's what Krishna pointed out in the 12th chapter. That how eager he is to get us back to him. And he is making the process simpler and simpler, makes it absolutely simple for us to go back to him. Because he is waiting for us to go back. And that is the essence of devotional service. Just we have to turn towards Krishna and say, Krishna, I want to go back to you. I'm sorry that I left you. I'm sorry that I rejected you, and as a result of that I suffered so much. Now I just want to go back to you. Now I want to become situated in my relationship with you, a loving relationship with you. So please allow me to go back to you. Please allow me to love you. Please allow me to serve you as an expression of my love for you. And that prayer is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whether we understand the meaning or not, we simply have to say it. Krishna is hearing. We may not understand the meaning of this Maha Mantra, but Krishna understands and he reciprocates. That is how simple it is to become free from our material bondage and going back to the spiritual world. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yes? Thank you.
First hymn by Prabhupada, since we...
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Now, as we read in the Bhagavad Gita, as you very well explained, Krishna first imparted his knowledge to the sun. Therefore, the inheritance of the sun, did it ever reach the planet Earth?
Yeah, right. Very good. Very good point. Did everybody hear the question? Krishna imparted the knowledge to sun god, then did it ever reach the earth planet? Yes, it did. Because sun god's vivarshan, sun, is Manu, Vaivarshata Manu. Vaivarshata Manu is the ruler of the earth planet. You get it? So he imparted the knowledge to his son, and his son became the ruler of the earth planet. So that is how it came to the earth planet. And then his son is Ikshaku. Do you remember Ikshaku? Ramchandra's dynasty is known as Surya Vamsa because it came from sun god. This is how it came from sun god. And this dynasty is also known as Ikshaku dynasty. So Ramchandra's dynasty is starting from Ikshaku. Manu, Ikshaku, as Krishna is saying, Manor Ikshaku ve abravit. So that is how it came to the earth planet.
I thought so, but I wasn't sure. I have a supplementary question. Well, according to that, I'm led to believe that Krishna, in his incarnation of Lord Ramachandra, appeared in the dynasty of Sakya, and the knowledge of Gita was imparted on this very earth. So, and Sat is like an Adi Guru. Now, ISKCON, I may be incorrected, but it seems that we treat the sun as inferior to moon, and moon as superior to sun, like our calendar is a lunar calendar, not solar calendar. If you could clarify this.
No, it's not a matter of inferior or superior. They are situated in their respective position.
Yeah.
But it's a moon dynasty. There are two Kshatriya dynasties. One coming from sun, Vivarshan, and the other coming from moon, Somdev. Moon dynasty is the dynasty in which Krishna appeared. But sun dynasty is the dynasty where Ramchandra appeared. So there is no question of superior or inferior. But you can say that Krishna appeared in the moon dynasty, therefore he blessed the moon. But we have to understand that the Lord may appear in any dynasty and all are equally exalted.
Then the question of the calendar,
that is the calculation. There are two types of astrological calculation. One is lunar and the other is solar. The solar is called Surya Siddhanta. Our previous Acharya Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted the Surya Siddhanta more than the lunar. And now, for whatever reason, the lunar calculation has become more prominent. It's a matter of popularity, social acceptance. Now this calculation is going on. But both are relevant.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. This question is from Radhapad Das. Dandavat Pranam Guru Maharaj. Could you please elaborate the expression repeatedly used by Srila Prabhupada, Supreme Personality of Godhead? Kindly shed some light on this phrase. Since Prabhupada always referred to Krishna, not just as God, but always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see, the English expression God is not very expressive. It has a kind of mixed concept. Whereas the Vedic concept has two considerations here. This expression, in the Vedic concept, there are many expressions. Like two specific expressions are Devas and Bhagavan. Right? Devtas. Now, Devas like Surya, Chandra, Varun, Indra, Lakshmi Devi, Saraswati Devi, Durga Devi. They are the Devas and Devis. They are the controllers of the affairs of this universe, right? But Bhagavan is the supreme controller, the supreme personality, who is the supreme creator and who is the supreme maintainer. Now, to discriminate between these two factors, Devas and Bhagavan, Prabhupada, like in English, that's why they think that often in the West, people think that Hinduism is a polytheistic religion. That Hinduism believes in many gods. But that's not true. That's a misconception. There are many demigods, but there is only one God. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So Hinduism, does Hinduism believe in many gods or one God? It's a monotheistic religion. But you know, like, because of this misconception, God, the English, in English there is only one expression, God. So demigods are God, semi-gods are God, and the Bhagavan is also God. So that's why, you know, they have a very gross misconception. So to alleviate that misconception, Prabhupada very emphatically pointed out, Krishna is not just a God. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Now how many Supremes can be there? There can be only one Supreme. So that is Krishna. So that's why Prabhupada was so emphatic about identifying Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. Okay, any other question? Yes, Sachin? It's, in a way, it's right also. Krishna came as an incarnation. That is, incarnation means he descended. Right? But when you probe deeper into that, then you find that the original Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Say, you see, when you want to know about God, then we have to get the information from proper source. Right? So the proper source are the Vedic literatures. And in the Vedic literatures, like Brahma Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it has been pointed out the difference between Krishna and the other incarnations have been pointed out. For example, after describing about all those incarnations, Bhagavatam is saying that they are parts of Krishna and parts of Krishna, but Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of God. Similarly, Brahma Samhita is also pointing out. And Brahma Samhita is giving the example. Like, what is the difference between Krishna and the different incarnation? Just as one lamp lights the other lamps, when those lamps are lit, all the lamps give out the same amount of light and heat. There's no difference. But the original lamp lit the other lamps. That's the difference. There's no difference between Krishna and Ram. There's no difference between Krishna and Vishnu. There's no difference between Krishna and Varaha and so forth. But original Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So now is the time for Arati.
Yeah. Oh,
kiba bohu koti chandra ji
Krishna Vishnaya Bhutale. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Ashtu Tarashato Sri Srimad Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada E. Jaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada E. Jaya. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Ashtu Tarashato Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Shri Mathura Dham ki jai. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Shri Mayapur Navadip Dham ki jai. Ganga Mai ki jai. Jamuna Mai ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulasi Maharani ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Samabeto Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada.
Namaste Narasimha.
Namaste Narasimhaya.
Prahlada Ladadai.
Prahlada Ladadai.
Hiranyakashipu Vaksha.
Hiranyakashipu Vaksha.
Shilaka. Jai Jagadishare,
Jai Jagadish Hari. Jai Bhakta Prabhar Shri Prahlad Maharaj. Gaur Premanande.